they stop them. The Seahawks go down and kick a field goal or something.
Right.
And then the 49ers go down and miss their field goal for the win. And then the Seahawks go down and kick a game-winning field goal. So it was a good overtime. It was action-packed. But I think in my opinion, it's time to start calling the 49ers legit. I still don't like them to win the Super Bowl, but they're a legit playoff team.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think both of us were at a while ago. Was it like, are they good? In terms of are they legit, as in are they good? Heck yeah, they're legit. They won a lot of games.
Heck yeah.
You know, heck yeah, you don't do that on accident. But in terms of Super Bowl contenders, I think it's tough to win the Super Bowl with the offense that they have.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy G, especially in overtime, he looked horrible. Yeah, so
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just don't think you have to have a better quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Like, when it really comes down to it.
I agree.
And receivers.
These guys
are nobodies. Uh-huh. And Emmanuel's hurt, so.
Yep.
Debo Samuel, your little South Carolina.
He had a good game.
He's their number one wide receiver right now.
Yeah, he looked good. I guess we can move on from football. Talk about a little college football this week. There's nothing huge. Obviously, you've got Oklahoma, Baylor. It's the big game of the week down in Waco. Baylor's undefeated. See if they're still up to the test. And then the other big game is Georgia-Auburn.
Right.
So both those have big playoff implications. But other than that, there's nothing too big going on this week. So I guess we can go ahead and get into our upset pick of the week.
Let's do it.
Of the week.
All right, let's roll into our upset pick of the week. Mac, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'm going to go 3:30 game. Houston over number 18 Memphis.
Okay.
Hope they're not going to hold their ground like they do in basketball. So Memphis is going to go down in H-Town, baby.
No James Wiseman.
No James Wiseman. That is important, people.
Am I up?
Yep.
Upset of the week. Give me Iowa State. The Cyclones versus the Longhorns. Sorry, Blake Smith. No, you're a big fan. I know it seems like we always pick against your Longhorns. But I've got the Cyclones. It's a 3:30 game. I'm ready for Iowa State to knock off the Horns this week.
Mm-hmm. So that was going to be my pick. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Let's go. Give me Nebraska over number 14, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So obviously, I've never been a big Nebraska fan this week, or this year.
I remember you blasted them because you were like, they're just overrated.
They are, and I was right.
Yeah,
so you were. I'm going to – hopefully they go against me, and they're at home. I don't know. Just there's not many great games to pick from. So
Cornhusker Nation.
Yeah, I'll take my Huskers. Okay. Let's roll into a little bit of Stardom Sit'em this week.
What are the upset of the week standings?
Okay, I'll read them off. Let me make sure this is updated.
I think you're last.
Yeah. So what week are we going into college football?
Am I tied with anyone?
They're not updated, but as of week 10, it's me and Mac tied at 4-6, and you're at 2-8.
I'm two games back?
Oh. Yeah, you're bad.
Dude, and I make bold picks, too. Yeah. That's sad.
So that's a little tough. I'll update the standings and put them out with the post this week.
I know I won last week.
Yeah.
And you did, too.
Uh-huh.
That's gay. I lost. Okay. Whatever.
All right.
Let's get into our Stardom Sit'em.
Uh-huh.
Anyone want to kick us off?
I'll do it.
Oh.
Okay. I want us to do a Stardom
Sit'em. Go ahead.
Start Josh Allen this week.
Okay.
Quarterback going up against the Dolphins. As of late, he's put up solid numbers, 21, 17, 17. Coming off a big 25-point performance last week. But I think against the Dolphins, he's got a chance to shine. Solid QB1 material this week. Start that man.
Okay.
Jake,
my starting pick is going to be Julian Edelman.
Oh, that was my pick. What?
Plays a not very good Philly defense. So give me Julian Edelman. He's been decent as of recent, but nothing huge. So
I'm scrambling. Oh God,
give me him. All right, Mac, on the spot. Start him. Okay. Who are you taking?
10, 9, 8.
I'm taking Keenan Allen.
Okay.
He had a hot start.
Uh huh.
Kind of got played by injury a little bit, slowing down, but
really slowed down.
He's Monday night against the Chiefs. Both
up tempo game potentially.
Both AFC West, I want to say.
Sure.
Up tempo game. Monday nights usually aren't blowouts, and plus that's two pretty good teams. Chargers defenses look good. Maybe stop Patty, but someone's got to come out and score the ball other than Eckler and Gordon. So that's gonna be Keenan Allen.
Okay.
All right, it's gonna sit him. Set.
Okay. Sit Kenyon Drake this week. So he had a breakout performance of 26 last time he played San Francisco, then had 7 last week. He's against San Francisco again, so I feel like a lot of people are going to be tempted to trust the matchup and go back against him. But I do think it's going to be a one-time thing. I don't see him repeating that performance. I would sit him.
Yeah, so you took Kenyon Drake. I was going to take the Cardinals running backs as a whole, so now I'm taking David Johnson.
Oh, were you actually?
Yeah. So he has negative 0.5 last week.
He fell off so hard. He was like a top pick.
He went six overall this year.
I know.
So
he went second last year.
He has not looked good. And 49ers are a tough defense, so I'm going to take him.
All right. I am taking Kenny Galladay. He is up in the 1 o'clock game against Dallas. Their number one cornerback, Awuzie, is looking good. I think he's the one that actually scored you that game-winning touchdown.
Thanks, bud.
Anyways, he's going to lock down Galladay. My flex, Marvin Jones, going to get all the receptions. Probably going to get an 80-yard bomb, tutty. Looking good.
Okay.
Let's go Ducks.
Fair enough. Let's move into some over-under. Today, our over-under is smoothies.
So who's kicking us off?
I think I have the first pick.
You do.
My overrated smoothie is a banana smoothie.
Okay.
Popular fruit amongst people. Particularly not a fan. Just don't like the taste of banana.
The texture?
The texture, the color. It's a little turn off.
The shape?
Mm-hmm.
The shape. So,
is it mine turn?
Banana smoothie.
It's mine.
Okay, go ahead.
My overrated is mango. I think mango is an overrated smoothie. It's like a common taste. You can find it everywhere. I just don't think it's that very good. I'm going to call this one overrated.
Okay. So my overrated pick is any green smoothie is overrated and it's not good. It's kind of been the new fad of a recent, but I'm taking that as my...
Pretty generic. You just want to take multiple smoothies? Do whatever you want.
So you can't have a mint smoothie. Mint smoothie for you.
No, I wouldn't drink a mint smoothie.
I wouldn't either. That's gross.
Yeah. Now, mint milkshake... I can mess with a little bit.
What's the difference?
Oh, what's the difference, please?
The ice cream?
Yeah, big difference.
Yep.
Jake.
Underrated.
Okay.
So we had a little disagreement before this, and you took mango was apparently like you picking.
Oh, you thought we were arguing about the...
So my underrated pick is mango.
Oh.
Like, it's not my overrated. It's you guys, my underrated.
Win-win.
Well, kind of.
We'll see who wins in the comments.
Okay.
But we'll see. Yep, mango's my underrated
pick. Speaking of the comments.
Probably me.
In the comments, if you're listening at this point in the episode, on the episode post, drop a banana in the comments.
Overrated.
But here's where we diverge. My underrated smoothie is a peanut butter banana smoothie. So not just a banana, but a peanut butter banana smoothie.
Even more disgusting.
Yeah.
I love the taste of peanut butter banana. I get it at Tropical now. It's a nice little switch up. It's good stuff right there.
See,
drop a banana in our comments.
I am a fan of peanut butter. I literally had it every day in middle school, like a peanut butter sandwich. A smoothie is something like refreshing and like I want to feel good about myself. I don't know. There's just something thick and brown about peanut butter.
Like, I would get a milkshake if I wanted peanut butter or chocolate. Mm-hmm.
But like a smoothie, I want like a fruit.
I agree.
And speaking of fruits, my underrated fruit, kiwi.
Okay.
I get the kiwi quencher at Tropical Smoothie, which is strawberry and kiwi and yogurt. And I don't like kiwi as a whole fruit, but if you mash it into a blender and serve it to me, it's pretty dang fantastic.
Pretty dang fantastic.
I want to throw in anything with papaya juice is fantastic.
Papaya juice.
That's too bougie for me.
It's put in the Caribbean way smoothie at Smoothie King. I get it every time, and it's fantastic.
I was going to say this is not underrated, but I do think it's appropriately rated. The Bahama Mama
Very good.
It's very good.
It's got the good mix of the sweet and the fruit.
What? Is that an underrated for you? Oh.
Overrated. Interesting.
Oh, late night snack. Oh.
Did you see them?
No, I didn't see them. I just assumed it.
Young man, if you take any of my snacks, I will kill you.
You pointed at the bottom of your notes.
I will shove them down
your
throat.
When I said it was over or under, you said no. I'm just assuming it's late night snack.
Let's get into
late night.
What else might it have
been? Let's get into the big three of late night snacks.
Let's do it.
I really like this topic.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware.
Can I pick one back?
This is a good one.
So I got the first overall pick.
First overall pick?
We've run out of like our original wave of ideas.
Yeah,
you know, like
comment some ideas.
Yeah.
What do you guys want
to
hear big three of?
Those.
We'll make a post.
Oh, by the way,
it.
Shirts coming real soon.
Yeah.
Real
like literally
soon.
Next week.
They're cooking up right now, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Shipping and handling.
How are we going to deliver those, by the way? I know we're just conversing on air, but
Bush League personal touch, hand delivery.
That would be hand delivery.
Do you want to split up and like drive them around?
I mean, I think most of them are done at school, but then the other ones we can just drive together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a Saturday morning. Maybe go take some garage sale shopping, flip some items.
We could do a vlog trip surprising our fans.
Yeah, that would be great. If we knock on their door.
If we could get one like crying.
Bush League!
Like, we get like some like the cry like, oh my god, I love you so much.
No way!
You guys is amazing.
All right. Let's jump into our big three of late night snacks.
Jake, let's hear it.
So I'm going to go ahead and take popcorn as number one.
Oh.
Just classic pick. It's not too sweet. It's good. Taking popcorn number one.
Just movie theater popcorn?
I mean, not movie theater popcorn in particular, but just good buttered popcorn.
Okay.
Big three, late night snack. First round, pick two. It's peanut butter jelly
time. Thank God.
Give me the peanut butter jelly sandwich, a classic, a staple in my diet.
Okay.
Actually, that sounds bad. It's not really a staple in my diet, but I eat it a lot. It's good. Right.
With these, I'm kind of talking like I'm sitting in my basement and I run upstairs, something I can make in 10 minutes or less.
Right.
And that could involve the oven, microwave, toaster, or nothing at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all on the same page.
So my first pick is pizza rolls.
Okay.
Pizza rolls or pizza bagels, like either one.
Bagel bites.
Bagel bites.
I mean, you can't take all of them.
I know you guys can't pick that because that's too close to mine.
Nope.
So, running back.
I mean, I wasn't planning on it, but I may now.
You can't. I said you can't. You can't.
Thanks for the tip.
Coming back around, second round, picking Lunchables. All right, either pizza.
See, I disagree. I don't think that's a late night snack. I don't.
Can I talk?
I think it'd definitely be a late night snack.
Okay.
For me, it's
not. Nachos.
Pizzas are still the best.
Pizzas. I get the turkey crackers. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I love it. And it's refrigerated. You don't have to do anything with it. I love Lunchables.
Okay.
I'm going to swing back around for some cereal. Okay. Just some cereal. It can be any cereal you want. I just think the taste of the cereal with the milk, just it's a great contrast to a late night snack.
In a cup. In a cup, though.
Yeah.
I eat it in a cup.
Everything's better in a cup.
Yeah.
Which leads me into my next pick, ice cream. Okay. But in a cup, it's better.
Oh, so, okay.
Ice cream's my late night pick.
So are you going to put it in a cup?
No, but I'll just put ice cream.
Okay. I leave it in the tub.
But it is better in a cup.
That's a really good second round pick.
So it's solid. I mean, it's a little bit of sweet. You've got a little sweet tooth late at night. It's not too heavy, so you're okay to sleep after.
Right.
And then my third round pick is leftover pizza. Just some good cold pizza.
Heat it up.
Maybe you had it earlier in the night, and then
or
you come.
Don't heat it up, because cold pizza's good in its own right. It's like a different meal.
It is.
Are you going to have hot pizza for dinner? And then later at night and have cold pizza, and you didn't eat the same thing.
Exactly. That's like, my picks.
It's not really leftovers at that point. I am going to go with cookies and milk for late night snack.
You love your milk.
Oh, that was back-to-back milk picks. No, cookies and milk, it's like you can go Oreos, you can go chocolate chip cookies. You can go any direction with these cookies, but I think just dipping them in a nice glass of milk, just a great taste that goes together nicely.
I think it's
fair. I can't believe this made it all the way to the last pick. I'm going microwave mac and cheese, Kraft, easy, drip the water, 3 minutes, stir, add the packet, stir, take it down, munch. It is so good, so cheesy. Doesn't taste exactly like crock pot
can
cooking.
Can we do a quote, please, for the Instagram of just that process right there?
Yeah, I think we can figure that out.
Just do like Max face in a bowl of mac and cheese next to each other, and then just say, mix it up, stir, add the packet, stir, take it out, munch.
Yeah.
End quote.
We've said this so many times that we're going to quote each other.
That, bro.
And we never go through with it.
Make a quote of me just saying, hey, quote that.
Yeah.
Not going to do that.
All right, boys.
All right. That'll
great
wrap
episode.
Us up. Thanks for tuning in.
Randall Cobb episode is complete.
Randall Cobb Cooper Cup 19? Episode.
Who's number 19?
Oh, we got to go with Amari. Come on.
Mari Cooper.
Mari Cooper, baby.
Mari right. Cooper episode coming up next week.
Ted Ginn Jr.
Don't forget to comment the banana.
Bush League merch coming soon.
Deuces. Peace. Against Penn State. It was like 200 yards and a touchdown.
I was watching that with my friend who knows him from Tift. Yeah. And he was just going crazy. He's like, that's bait, baby. That's bait. 220 and a touchdown.
Yeah, he had a good game.
220 yards?
Against Penn State.
What?
So quite the game there. They're up 9 spots.
He's up for we gotta get him on the show.
Ooh, he'd take it. He'd take it easy.
Yeah, he would. The problem is when he comes home or whatever, that's still like 3 hours south of us.
Yeah.
Little road trip.
To Tift. Oh.
App State made it back in the rankings.
They did.
25.
They're a good team. I'm sorry. Did they beat South Carolina?
They did. Yeah. It ended up being 2015. It was, I told you. I mean, South Carolina played horrible.
North Carolina didn't play good either, but App State's so good.
No, they're just the fact that they really hang in. Like, it's not like they.
They're tough.
They're just their offensive line was solid. We didn't get much pressure. Boys. Yeah, we didn't get much pressure on them.
And that's usually the separator, you know.
Yeah.
When you go to those Power Five teams, it's like, look, if your line can't keep up, you're done.
And part of the problem is they have nothing to lose when they go out and play. Whereas the bigger teams definitely do feel a lot more pressure. So.
Yeah, and I mean, App State, like obviously they're some of the Power Five teams they beat, like are able to recruit better.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you just look on the field, you can't tell that there's a talent gap at all.
No, if you took jerseys off, they look very similar. Yeah, they're a solid team.
They're really good this year. They're really good. I called them beating North Carolina to my own demise.
Yeah, but other than that, there's no huge surprises there. It'll be interesting to see how things shake out.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, move into a little NFL. Do you want to talk about our fantasy weeks from this past week?
Yeah.
Matt, go ahead and get into it.
I'll go second.
All right, I'll go first. So I lost to Williams, the worst team in the league. So disappointing loss. He did have his best week of the year against me, so that's tough.
That cookie crumbles, if you
will. Yeah, I had a rough game from Diggs, and Russ had a tough match against the 49ers, so it was a tough loss, but I'm still right in the playoff race. Like, I shouldn't drop out anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But tough week.
You got it?
Yeah. Am I good?
Go ahead.
All right, boys, listen up. I versus Luke this week. He's a 4-5 team.
Him?
Yeah. It's a 4-5 team, you know, like, he'll win, he'll lose some. I have my entire bench is on bye. My starting tight end, my wide receiver, my RB2, my RB1,
mm-hmm.
my flex, and my defense. Okay, I'm not expecting much coming out of this.
Oh my.
It's bad.
Okay, I'm sorry for cutting you off. I didn't realize how much of a right you have to be mad. But now that I see it, I understand a lot more. I never really looked at this.
All right, boys, we put exactly 108 up, all right? And Cooper Kupp gets 9 targets and doesn't catch a single pass. This is the number 3 wide receiver in fantasy, and he doesn't catch a single pass. 0 points, nada. Luke is down 8. He's got like 100 points. Going to Monday Night Football, he's got Tyler Lockett and Emmanuel Sanders. I'm like, it's possible. It's possible.
You need a quiet week, right?
I need a quiet week. Emmanuel gets a catch. I'm like, okay, this isn't looking good. Emmanuel gets another 10-yard reception. Leg hurt. He is out. And I go, this could happen. He finishes with 3 points. I'm up by like 5 at this point. Tyler Lockett keeps getting receptions. He catches it for 1 yard. And then he gets hurt. And I knew he got hurt. He's like out for maybe the season now.
Okay.
Lockett? No, he's back this week. He's surprising. Okay. He was in the hospital for 2 days.
It was like a really bad injury.
Like severe like leg bruising.
Oh, God.
Like apparently so swollen, but he's back this week somehow.
That's a sucky injury.
Yeah.
That's just pain.
I'm praying at this point that there's got to be a stat correction because I look at the fantasy app. I have 108.
Uh-huh.
Luke has 108.1.
Okay.
Cooper Kupp could have gotten a negative yard reception. Just one reception I would have won.
Right.
I lost by 0.1, people.
Hold on. He could have gotten, correct me if I'm wrong, a negative
4 yard.
4 yard catch would have tied it. Negative 3 would have won it.
Oppo. Negative 5 yard catch would have tied it. Negative 4 would have won it. Cause you get,
no, negative
you get
5 would have been 0.
You get 0.5.
Yeah, but that would have been 0.
Yeah,
so the negative 5 would have taken away 0.5 again.
That's only 0.4, though. It's still 0.1. You still get 0.1 in that.
How?
No.
0.4?
No, if he gets a negative 5 yard reception,
that's
you go
0
back,
points.
Yeah, that's 0 points.
Yeah,
that's
it's
what
zero
I'm saying.
Points.
That's what I said.
So a
negative 4 would have tied it.
A negative 4.
That's what I said.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Oh, we're on the same page, guys. But you would have lost.
All right, cool.
He had bench points.
I know I would have lost that
so
bench point.
So you needed a negative 3.
Just a screen pass where he literally just gets hit as soon as he catches a screen.
Yes,
and you go
yes.
One.
Boys, 0.1.
That
is one more yard.
The fact that he had 9 targets and not 1 catch.
That adds insult to injury that he had the targets.
Like, yeah. Could you imagine?
Like, it's one thing if he gets locked up and there is just nothing his way the entire game, but you got to catch at least one of those.
Did
he
drop anything?
Yeah, yeah.
There had to have been a few drops.
It was mostly on
Goff.
Goff, but this is Cooper. Like, what?
And so I saw all your stuff about Cooper Kupp being
I went off on him on my private.
I was still a little salty from fantasy the week before in the freaking Dallas defense.
Yeah, but you gotta. I we We got to talk about it.
Wait, can I say one more thing? I talked about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could you imagine I knew, like, I was going to lose by 0.1, and I'm still watching, like, the 1 o'clock games before all my players play, and I'm like, Alvin, just get one more yard, dude. Like, no, come on. Like, I need this.
It changes your perspective on everything.
Ref, place the ball 1 yard further. Come on. Give me a good lie.
Okay, so we talked about it last week with my all-time win against you.
Just going to make me relive it? I would argue that it's more of an all-time loss than an all-time win.
I agree. Just, you got to explain it. Just from your side of things, I just want to hear it.
Okay. So I believe I tried to bury this in the depths of my memory. Mm-hmm. So forgive me if the story
bring it back
fuzzy.
Out.
But I think I was up like 10 maybe. Mm-hmm. And I had Amari Cooper and you had Gallup and the Cowboys D.
Uh huh.
No, I was up 8. And I remember at the time when stuff started going down, the Cowboys D had about 8.
Mm-hmm.
So the game was like tied.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, I start up 2 because of the defense gives me 10.
Yeah, but I'm saying it got down to 8. So, like, the game's, like, tied when stuff really starts happening in the third quarter. Neither of our receivers have done much.
Yep.
You know, Cooper's the number 1. Is Gallup the 2 in Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the number 1 versus number 2, whoever has a better game. Gallup gets that touchdown, and I go, like, I think I'm done. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, dang it. Like, I really lost off this. Of course Gallup will get this touchdown. So annoying. And I put the computer down. I stopped watching.
Okay.
Okay. I do some other stuff or whatever. I'm talking to other people in the league. They're like, oh no, you still got a chance, whatever. Okay, so I tune back in. I regain hope. Couple plays go by. And Gallup's touchdown was maybe 10 yards.
Yeah, it was like
yards?
A 15-yard catch.
15-yard catch.
It was a good play, so it made it look like it was more than it was. And right. I checked it. I was like, oh, it's only 7 points.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, it wasn't a massive play.
No.
When I tuned back in, Amari Cooper cuts across the middle for like a 40-yard touchdown.
Yep, 45 yards to be exact.
Yeah, so just huge play. I'm going like, yes, let's go. We're going to win.
I immediately got a text from Sut like,
game.
Amari
GG.
Cooper, yeah, GG,
then,
Amari Cooper, GIF.
Yeah, and then so the Cowboy defense, the Cowboys are winning at this point.
They've
had two back
they're
up touchdowns.
Big too. Like it's like 3 or 4 touchdown
gap.
Yeah,
it's like just it's a guess. It's like 30-17 or something like that. Like
something similar.
The game's out of reach. The Giants are just coming down. Daniel Jones is really just messing around, like they're taking like shots at the end zone at the end of the game, almost even check downs. Like, nobody's really playing that hard.
Yeah.
I'm almost ready. Like, I'm celebrating. I'm about to go get in the shower, I remember, and go to sleep. It was late on that Monday night. And then I start getting texts in the fantasy group chat because my computer stream is behind. It's like, oh no. No way. That did not just happen. Oh my gosh. All this stuff. And I know something's bad's coming. And so I set my phone down and I disengage and I look on the screen. And I see Daniel Jones get sacked from behind, fumble, which wouldn't have lost me the game. I'm up like 6.
Yeah.
Sacked from behind and fumble.
So there's 3 points there.
I see him get hit and I say, please dive on the ball. Just dive on the ball. I will still win. And this dude picks it up and runs it like 80 yards for a touchdown.
And keep in mind, there's 20 seconds left in the game.
The game is over. This is running up the score. You're literally running up the score. It was like a party foul to even take it back all the way.
Yeah.
Like, you got to just dive on that and take a knee, and the game's over. But this idiot runs it all the way back, and that's how I lost.
Tough. It's a tough loss.
I'm getting fired up. Just
okay, I do want to mention this real quick. I saw it this week, so... we talked about running up the score.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a huge Dabo fan. I've never really liked him, mainly because I like South Carolina, so rival Clemson.
Right.
But Dabo this week, they played NC State.
Mm-hmm.
They are up 49-10.
Okay.
With 20 seconds left on the clock, easily take a knee. They decide to run it in. Like, just why? Next, instead of like just kicking it, going on with business, they send out their starting linebacker to kick the extra point just for fun. And then they give Dabo...
Did he make it, though?
No, completely shanked it.
Okay.
And then they give Dabo a Gatorade shower after.
Nice.
Like, to me, it's just like, why would you do that?
Just end the game, buddy.
Yeah, just knee it and end the game. Like, who cares?
Clemson's having fun.
Just living life.
But it's whatever.
To hear about my actual fantasy game this week, because that terrible moment's in the past now.
Yep.
I had an inspiring performance. Lamar with 33, Amari Cooper with 26... Played Pierce, wasn't that good, but I still won my 30. Now I have a matchup with Tyler coming up this week, so
should be an easy one.
Yeah, I'm
pretty confident.
I'm chilling. I really am. I'm projected to win by like 35.
Yeah, which is not, that's not good. If you don't know fantasy, that we'll just tell you it's not good.
I think most people who listen do know fantasy.
I would agree, but there's select few that don't. As we look at the Bush League standings, we are still holding down the top
of the league.
Yeah, Wyatt's still one. You guys are 2-3. I dropped a 5 with my loss, but we're still hanging in there at the top.
And Mac plays Wyatt this week, and I also have a week 13 matchup with Wyatt.
Okay.
So I would like to note that Wyatt's got some heavy hitters coming in for me.
I played Mac last week of the year, which will be interesting.
So one of us...
Our kicker matchup.
Mac, yeah. I do think one of us are going to beat him. I don't know who it is. I don't think he beats both of us.
Go look at your bye, because I have him with Aaron Jones on bye. And so that's huge. A big advantage for me.
Because Aaron Jones has looked, he's dropping like 30, 40 points.
He's all tutties. It
doesn't make sense.
It's unfair.
If we look at, as you guys are looking at that.
It might be too late for buys. Like this week might.
13, neither of us have buys.
I think week 12 is the last week.
Oh my gosh. I start Lamar and Mark Ingram on the Ravens, and they're playing San Francisco.
That'll be tough.
Now, they had good games against them last time.
No, Lamar could very easily go off against San Francisco.
Yeah. Is it home? No, they haven't played yet.
Is it home?
They haven't played yet. But it was the Patriots defense.
Who you played against me.
Yes,
keep in mind. Home. You also sat Lamar and Ingram when you played me.
I know.
When if you started them, you won easy.
I know. And I got scared of the Patriots defense.
Uh-huh. And Lamar put on a show.
You were right to do that.
I can't say that I was right, but I didn't beat myself up over
with
that.
Your running backs, I agree with the Ingram sit. I still would have sat or started Lamar.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing. I mean, obviously, looking back on it, could say you should have started both of them.
Stafford still had a good game,
though. He did.
I mean, obviously, Lamar scored more.
Yeah.
Maybe like 6 or 7 points more.
Lamar had an all-time week this past week.
He was phenomenal.
That run,
he got his work done early. That spin.
That run was insane.
Do you remember when Braxton Miller at Ohio State had that spin move?
Yeah, that was like opening week of college football, too.
B-button. I remember that tweet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing went through my mind when I saw that. I was like, B-button.
That's when ESPN like caption game took off.
Yeah.
That was the exact post.
B-button. He said...
Braxton hit the B-button.
Yeah, but it's like he looks like Mike Vick out there when he runs the ball.
Yeah,
so kind of cool to see. Other than that, there wasn't any huge games. Obviously, Saints upsetting the Falcons.
Falcons upsetting the Saints.
Falcons upsetting the Saints. So, I don't...
Mac.
There's Mac again.
Always good to get a win over the Aints, though.
Yeah. The Falcons just, I don't... Like, I keep saying it every week, they should be better.
Do you think Dan Quinn saved his job?
He saved it for another week, that's for sure. Now... I still think he's gone after this year because with the talent they have, you can't lose. You can't be 2-7.
Right.
But other than that, there wasn't anything. Dolphins and Jets both got the second wins of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Packers still look good. Steelers are starting to make a playoff push along with the Raiders. We can talk about the Monday night game a little bit.
Sorry because I'm lagging a little bit.
Okay.
Week 13, when I play Wyatt, though, he has Deshaun Watson at quarterback. He does play the Patriots D.
Okay.
Ooh,
that's a big
still
offset
tough.
Right there. That's a big offset. Okay, I'm good.
That's supposed to be tough. Let's talk a little bit about the Monday night game. Did everyone watch that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so Seahawks 49ers came down to OT.
Mm-hmm.
I think Seahawks had 3 possessions in OT.
3?
San Francisco had 2.
Did they hit close to a tie?
Yes.
It was
a game-winning field goal.
At what time?
As clock was running out.
Seriously?
So what happened was Seahawks came down driving right down the field, mm-hmm. and Russ throws an interception. I think it's inside the 20. It's right on the goal line. So then they go back.
Yeah. Like, they're getting paid. Like, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Your first year you come out of high school, you're getting paid.
And it's good money. I mean, you're top draft pick. And then you got to think all the ticket sales they bring in out there. Like, LaMelo Ball, I mean, what an attraction he probably is in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, they're all coming to those games and stuff. Yeah. So you can make a lot of money by going overseas.
Yeah. I think so far the biggest game we've had yet this year, Kentucky... Number one Kentucky in Rupp Arena gets upset by Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
Just
by 3.
Don't know how it happened.
I don't know. And there are a lot of really, really good mid-major teams. But Evansville, like, they're projected to finish, like, 9th in their conference.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's college basketball is chaos. I love it. I mean, that was coming off of Kentucky's impressive win over, who did they beat? Champions Classic.
Michigan State,
yeah. Tyrese Maxey had a great
game. He looked good.
I mean, I don't even think I've been here since we talked about, like, since college basketball started.
No.
We covered that.
We covered it, but you, the last time you were here, we were talking about the preview of it, mm-hmm. so.
Florida also got upset, and so did Baylor.
Who did Florida lose to?
Florida.
They lost to Florida State.
Yeah, they're all unranked. And then Baylor.
Florida's won, like, 6 straight against them.
And it was at home, too. Florida State has won six. It was at home in Florida, too. So it's
Baylor a little bit of upset. Lost to Washington.
Okay.
So that's three top 20 teams all upset by week three.
Well, another interesting, 16 Ohio State beat down on Villanova.
Yeah, Villanova's weird.
They're very young.
Yeah, they'll lose some like big games early. The Big East is really, really good this year, actually. Uh-huh. So it's not going to be normally a cakewalk to them. But at least in the past, like Villanova will lose some non-conference games, and you'll be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then they'll build it up during Big East play and then have a great tournament run.
Same thing with Purdue, as I'm a Purdue fan. So yeah. Talk about it a little bit. They very young team. It's disappointing not to see Carson Edwards out there. But they've lost two tough games to Texas and Marquette.
You had Klein, didn't you?
Yeah.
You lost him.
Two big losses.
It's definitely a different look for Purdue.
Yeah, they're a little bit smaller. They're not as well shooting the three, which is kind of what they've been with Edwards and Klein. So
right.
It's a little bit of a transition year. Although they still have Harms, their 7-footer, and they're bringing in another 7'3" Asian this year. So
oh, wow.
Super, super excited.
He
plays at IMG.
Yeah, he was at the... He was at the Houston camp that I went
to. Okay, was he good?
Zach Edey. Yeah, I mean, he was huge. There's no size. Like, he's 7'3".
Yeah. So he's a good pickup for Painter?
Yeah, I didn't, like, play him or anything, but we ate lunch at the same time every day.
You talked to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I stood next to him one time.
Did you look at him?
Yeah.
I mean, I was like at his hip.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Sonny.
I mean, there's something.
he wore these, like, huge black headphones. Like,
he just starts yelling at you in Chinese.
A lot of those guys are a little weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying it. No disrespect. If you're a 7'3" Asian in America, like, you're standing out.
What was he eating at lunch?
I mean, hamburger, like, just regular food. He's cultured. He's getting there. But, I mean, I can see why I'd want to go to Purdue.
There's something that we just reel in, like, 7-foot guys.
I know.
Just defense and 7-foot guys just want to play at Big Purdue 10. For some reason.
With the hair.
And Painter loves them.
I know.
The blonde hair.
It's a perfect fit for both of them. Did you see Auburn almost lost to South Alabama?
I did.
South Alabama has a really good team this year, but still, that was surprising. I thought Auburn was gonna handle that. And then Cole Anthony. Have you seen what he's been doing?
I saw his first game. I haven't seen anything after.
What's he been doing, Sut?
I mean, we've only played twice.
Okay.
But he had 20 the second game, hit probably 5 threes, had a couple big dunks. That first game was crazy, though. That first night.
Yeah.
The 34 points. Extremely efficient. Did you know that night Cole Anthony had 34 points and Virginia held Syracuse to 34 points?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I saw something today about Purdue and Virginia play. Uh-huh. It's soon.
Right.
But it's going to be like a...
That's a really good non-conference game.
Well, it's going to be like a Elite Eight tough game last year for us Boilermakers. But it's going to be like this final score. That game's going to be like 40-36. Because neither team has offense. It's all defense.
I know. And that's... I mean, that's just Virginia. That's what they do. They lock up. They don't score. Like, if you average 10 points a game on Virginia, you're getting buckets.
Yeah.
Because it's relative to what you're doing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Let's move into a little college football. Obviously, we got to talk about the big game of the week first. Bama-LSU. LSU came out. Tough game.
I couldn't watch that game. So that's somebody
really,
got to fill me in.
That's
I
really
looked up the stats. The game was at 3:30. We had a game at 4.
That's tough.
I couldn't watch any of it.
So, Bama, right at the start, drove down the field, two of fumbles. Just, it was a weird fumble, too, because he's just running with the ball, and it just comes out. It's tucked in his arm, and it just pops out.
Okay.
So it was like
no contact?
No contact, just came out. And then he re-injures his ankle on that play, too.
Of course there was speculation with the ankle.
No, like, he actually, was hurting.
Yeah.
And
I know, I just mean in terms of, like, we couldn't have a game where everybody's healthy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone's arguing that because I think LSU.
It was a pretty solid win.
LSU got out to a huge lead,
and they were up most of the game till the very end when Bama.
That was had a little weird.
They got hot in the
like
fourth.
They had like 80-yard touchdown pass.
I called
to like really make it close at the end, but
right.
I was rooting for Bama the entire game.
You were
because like it's a potential target for me to go commit, so you know I got to root for them. And then one of my friends is a big LSU fan, so we're just kind of going at it.
Uh-huh.
But LSU came on top.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean it was a good game. I think. LSU deserves their number one spot.
LSU didn't cover the spread, did they?
I know Bama was favored.
Yeah, Bama
was favored by 3.5. So
dang it, I thought
five,
which I think is a pretty easy take.
Bama was favored by 5.
If I wasn't
here to bet because we normally do the bets. You
yeah,
know? I think I would have taken LSU.
I would have.
The kicker was it was in Tuscaloosa.
It was.
If that game is in Baton Rouge, I think that line would have been a lot different.
No, I think it would have been LSU 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And I think now Joe Burrow had a 393 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think he's clearly Heisman front runner. He's
looked, I was about to say, he has looked, to be the front runner.
Yeah. I mean, the only person you could argue is Fields, but
he quarterback has, on the undefeated number one team in the country.
Yeah.
I get with the proven wins now.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
putting up good numbers.
Yeah. Other than that, there wasn't any huge games, really.
There's a quiet week. Otherwise.
Quiet week. We can talk a little bit about the rankings. Mm-hmm. Oh. So LSU.
Sorry, can I just talk about the LSU-Bama game still? Mm-hmm. The running back for LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Uh-huh.
He went off. He's 5'8", 200 pounds.
Okay. He's a bulldozer.
5'8", 200. Imagine, just for a second, imagine just like being 5'8", 200 pounds.
I know. You're just a wrecking ball. He had like 4 total touchdowns. Alabama really couldn't stop him. He was the weakness there.
That last run he had, I think it was the last touchdown of the game, where he broke like 2 tackles on the sideline and just walking in the end zone was insane.
No, and then he had another one where he got hit at, I think, Bama's 7,
uh-huh.
and the lineman pushed him 7 yards, and it was like they just picked him up. There. It was sick.
Now, that's Jake, you just filming me.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, just getting up the...
Another game was Maryland-Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Ohio State won 73-14, and they covered the spread by halftime of 46.
Yeah,
oh, they were up 46 at halftime.
You say you covered the spread at the halftime. Keep in mind, the spread was 46.
Yeah.
Now, go look at their game.
Because I would argue that a lot of spread...
Mac, if you've got it pulled up, go look at their spread. This week, they play Rutgers. I'm interested to see what the spread is.
Ohio State's spread.
Rutgers is a joke. Rutgers
52. 52.
And that's a Big Ten matchup.
Can we agree that Rutgers is the worst Power 5 athletics program?
I agree. Now, I didn't... Me and my dad were debating this.
Can we do like a... Can we do at some point...
A big
like
three a, of worst Power 5?
Or not... Not even just a big three, like maybe just a separate segment, but just talk about how bad certain athletic programs are.
Me and my dad were discussing this because I don't know who it was that we were watching a game, and my dad was like, this is the worst team I've ever seen. After we looked through most of the conferences, obviously the SEC is fine in every – because we're
talking about multiple –
Yeah, players. I'm talking about like just athletic program total because like Vanderbilt's bad at football, but baseball, they're best team in the country.
Right.
So we came down to Illinois and Rutgers as our two worst.
Penn State's pretty bad, other than football.
Yeah, but the football really rises their stock.
I think Illinois is up there.
Yeah. I don't think...
Like, I'm not looking at, like, the equestrian teams. No. I'm kind of keeping it big main sports.
Think of what brings in the most money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, football, basketball.
Baseball, women's basketball, you could...
Yeah, it just...
Softball, if you want to throw it. Soccer.
What do you think some of the best are? North Carolina, I'm... Obviously biased, but they have a very well-rounded.
Florida and Florida State are both very usually good. I'm also a little biased, but South Carolina is up there for how irrelevant their football team is to the conversation. The rest of their athletic programs are good.
I'd say LSU.
LSU
baseball,
is up there.
Football, and then they've been hot in basketball lately too.
Mm-hmm. I think Oklahoma, you could argue, is up there.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Not as maybe the fast 2 years, but like when they had Buddy Hield and all them.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey.
Ohio State.
Ohio State's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah,
player.
Michigan
State, Michigan.
Uh-huh. And then obviously you got the one-dimensional ones, just like Kansas for basketball.
Yeah.
Like the biggest drop-off.
Les Miles is putting together a little bit of a program, though.
Or Duke.
Exactly, Duke.
Yeah.
Les Miles, I think he might... I don't know what he'll... I had a little hiccup there. I don't know what he'll do. Because I think with what he's doing with the Kansas program, like, he's going to get better job offers. But a part of me kind of hopes he just stays at Kansas and turns this thing around.
Well, part of it's like kind of like, all right, after I was done at LSU, no one wanted me. So I'm going to stick it to everyone, and I'm going to build a program at Kansas.
Yes. Like, seeing Kansas
I like it.
Not be a joke. Like, they're still not good. Right, yeah.
But they're average.
Yes.
Like, they used to be horrific.
It used to be so bad.
Like, 0-12 every year.
They didn't win a game for, like, literally 3 years.
Yeah.
And when you are in the Big 12 and have the ability to go down and just schedule worse people, and you're still losing those games in the non-conference, like, that's really bad. They had their first, sellout in, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
For a football
Which
game.
Is bad for a football. For a Big 12 football game is not good.
I know. The rest of the conference is awesome football program. But
yeah, I mean,
Texas. Oh no, I was gonna say Texas Tech is bad, but that was stupid. Their basketball team just won.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech are both pretty solid. Once you go out west, the out west teams are a little trickier because Stanford, USC, and UCLA are all solid because they've got their baseball, football.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, a lot of them are. Oregon is obviously up there. But a lot of them are pretty one-dimensional once you get out west. Baylor.
Baylor's not bad.
Baylor's an average Baylor's baseball team, too. Baylor's
having a good football year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having a good football
year. Undefeated.
Yeah.
Sitting they're at 13. Still undefeated? They are. I guess we want to get into the rankings a little bit.
Yeah.
So, no huge surprises, I don't think. I guess I'm still putting Bama over Georgia at 4.
I like that pick.
I don't understand how you can say that Georgia's home South Carolina loss is better than Bama's LSU loss. I know the whole recency bias thing, but still, like, it's getting to the point where it's so late in the year that you don't really want to mess with it. You kind of just keep it the same to me.
Yeah, and here's the thing. A lot of it is just a show because everyone knows that UGA, like, I think if you put UGA at 5 and you kept them at 5, then, like, you're saying Bama's already ahead of them. And if Bama didn't lose again, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's say Georgia won the SEC, then Georgia almost should jump them if they beat LSU.
No, I agree.
And so then you'd switch them again. Like, I kind of understood where they were going from. At first, I went off on the recency bias thing, and I get it. Like, I get it that Georgia, like, okay, it still doesn't make a lot of sense, but I've tried to justify it. You know what I mean? Like, Georgia still has games to play, and Alabama doesn't.
And if Georgia wins out, they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so now they lose to LSU or an Auburn, Alabama probably jumps back over them. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
I think it's weird seeing Bama ranked 5. Like, you're just so used to 1 and 2. Yeah. Like, what's this 5 doing here?
And we might have even talked about this a few weeks ago, but has Bama missed a playoff?
No.
I don't think they missed a playoff. There really hasn't been that many teams in the playoffs.
Variety.
Well, yeah. You've got your Bama and Clemson, then you've got your Ohio State's been in multiple.
Oklahoma.
Notre Dame.
Florida State's been in one.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia. Florida State was in the first one. Oregon was in one.
But, like, other than that, there's not that many.
Okay. I don't think Utah deserves 7. I don't think they should be in the top 10.
They have to be undefeated. They're undefeated?
No.
One loss.
They have one loss to USC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Penn State, Oklahoma, and Minnesota should all be ahead of them.
I agree with that. I think Oregon.
Minnesota, row the boat, baby.
We kind of picked them as our dark horse team. Just saying.
I was on Minnesota pretty early.
We talked about them early.
Name the week.
It was probably when they were 6-0.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, I was. It was the week you weren't here. That first week you weren't here.
You called that?
Not that. I didn't necessarily call anything, but I was like, I really, really like them. People aren't giving them enough credit.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for them. It was more of like, call me a Minnesota fan for this season.
Yeah.
Like, at this point on. And okay. So I'm glad to see.
And you talked about that water suit with Bateman.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman.
And he went off. All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to episode 18. We've got Sut back in the studio. So we've got a good episode coming for you guys. We're going over everything from the MLB award announcements to your NBA and college basketball news and your weekly football. Let's rock and roll.
I'm back.
Sut is back in the house. We're back for episode 18. Sut,
episode 18.
The boys are back.
It's flying by.
We're getting old.
It's our Randall Cobb episode.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Cooper Kupp, he sucks.
Didn't he, choke you out in fantasy or something?
We'll get into that. I will go into that.
Max can have a little rant later.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Sut, you want to explain what you... We missed you last week, so you explain where you were?
I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure I was just...
Just vibing?
Yeah, just vibing. things are a little crazy on my end, you know.
That's
I'm
dope.
A scholar. Basketball season.
Why are you a scholar? Explain. Didn't you just get a really high score on something?
Oh, yeah. ACT score, 34. Thank you very much.
Nerd. I'd hate to be that smart.
Yeah, I'll take the nerd ones. I deserve it for that one, but I'm chilling now. No more testing for me.
Pretty cool, buddy.
Yeah, I've been really busy. But I'm glad to be back with my Bush League family.
We're excited to have you back.
We're glad.
I'm warm on the inside. I'm smiling right now. I'm cheesing.
All right, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of sports. First, we can start off with the MLB award announcement. So over the course of the week on Tuesday, the Rookie of the Year was announced, Wednesday, Cy Young, and today, just a few minutes ago, the MVP was announced.
Saw that on my way over here.
So go ahead and start with Rookie of the Year. We had from the Astros, Yordan Alvarez, and from the Mets, Pete Alonso.
Oh.
Any surprises there from you guys?
Not Pete. I didn't really keep with the rookies from the AL, but I knew Pete had a great year. So
what do you think, Dave? Was that what you expected to win?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see our young Pete Alonso pulling out there. And we got Jacob, like I'll explain in a sec, Jacob DeGrom won Cy Young. Mm-hmm. So we got two award winners.
Do you think anyone was snubbed from that award, or that the right people got it?
I think the right people got it. Maybe you could have argued, I guess, go ahead and say it. So for the Cy Young, Justin Verlander won from the Astros, and then Jacob DeGrom for the Mets.
Uh-huh.
I think you could have very well argued Cole, who's also on the Astros, could have won, but I don't think it's like a huge surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Now, if you took in consideration Max Scherzer's playoff performance,
right? But what, does that count for
MLB? He could have won NL. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
No, they do
the voting before the playoffs, and then they release it after.
It'd be very biased. So if they did.
Mm-hmm.
So DeGrom won a second in a row, and then moving into the MVP. From the NL on the Dodgers, Cody Bellinger. I think that's one's the most interesting. And then
obviously, that's the one I saw.
Obviously from the AL, Mike Trout won his third MVP.
The GOAT.
So since, I was just telling Mac this as we were waiting on you, since 2012, Trout has been either first or second MVP voting every single year, except for one when he was out half the year. And he still came in fourth that year. So
he could go down as one of the greatest baseball players.
Yeah.
But
he's just on an all-time track.
We don't know.
And that's the weird thing about baseball. Like, they don't have one combined award. You know, like, one MVP award of a sport.
What do you mean?
Like, they have different MVPs for the different leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's dumb.
You think Trout will go ring chasing?
I mean, would Trout have won overall MVP?
I would say so. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
If there was one award. Like, that...
I see, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would they do that?
I mean...
Unique. Baseball's weird. I get it.
Yeah.
And NL and AL are a little bit different, so.
It's probably one of those things that, like, going back to, like, 1880 or whatever, it's like a tradition, and since baseball's such, like, the sacred sport and you can't touch it, they're like, no, two MVPs.
Well, it's also because there is a difference in, like, each league has a few very minor rules, like with the DH and stuff like that, so it's a tad bit different.
Yeah, but they still play each other.
Yeah.
It's understandable for, like, Cy Young, but hitters... Like, there's a little bit difference, but Cy Young, you're versing pitchers for the NL, usually.
So,
like,
do you think it'd be better if they had a league MVP and then also named an NL and AL MVP on top of that?
Or just pick one of them.
Pick either Bellinger or Trout to be the league MVP as well?
Yeah. Just, everyone gets a medal. That's how the world goes today. It's what our society's
going
to do.
Might as well name everyone.
Uh-huh. Exactly. I'm the MVP.
The POMO way.
The POMO. Postmodernist is killing this world.
It is.
What is that? That one over my head.
So that's Miss Vols in English teaching us a little
just
postmodernist, just a new wave of.
Is it like a millennial type thing?
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like the new movement. Like you had like the what's another movement? Progressive movement.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So.
Okay.
Do you think Yelich was snubbed out of the MVP?
The only thing I care about with Christian Yelich was that he should have been in the Home Run Derby and he should have won it. Other than that, no, I don't know if he was snubbed or not. To be completely honest with you, do you think he was snubbed?
No, only because he got hurt and he just couldn't play down the stretch. So I think that takes a little. It was already a close race. I think if he played and kept on the same track, he would have won.
But. I think he was just so hot in the beginning, and then with the injury and like
he is hot.
With the postseason, you're like, oh, what's the beginning of the season? Like, you don't remember that. But
I got you.
Yeah. Well,
let's move on.
That's about all our MLB news. Obviously, it's. Until it starts back up, there won't be much news around maybe a few minor off-season moves here and there.
MLB is decently quiet in the off-season.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean, you have – it's not like the drama that you get with the NBA, but it's more just like you see some contracts. You're like, holy cow, that contract's huge. Like, it just makes
baseball
no sense.
Baseball money is crazy.
Yeah, because there's no cap. You can just spend as much
no
as you
cap,
want.
No cap, bro.
All right, let's move into back into a little bit of your Sut's cup of tea. Some NBA news, Sut.
Ooh.
Your world.
Go ahead and give us some – what's some recent news going on in the NBA?
I got some.
Okay.
My Nuggets are 7-3 over
Nuggets,
over 500.
Mm-hmm. You did
Go Nuggets, baby.
Saying, like, that's not really your team, but you just, like, claimed them before the season.
Yeah, yeah. I've never liked them.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going to like them this year because I've never really had a basketball team.
It was fair to say he did start it before the season.
So I did start it. They are fourth in the West right now. Basically going to make it to the finals. Mm-hmm. But the Lakers are looking good. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. LeBron, all the LeBron wash talk has been silenced.
Yep, it's over.
He's playing really, really well. He's not scoring like he normally does. But, like, if you watch the games, his overall impact is...
I mean, it's just like it always is. It's part of with the star power he has with them. It obviously takes a little bit of scoring away, but... Right. Yeah, they're hot. Another team that's hot, the Celtics, lost the first game, and then since then they're on a 9-game win streak, and it's looking like they can pretty much easily win the next 3 games. So 12 win streak to start the year is not out of question for the Celtics.
You know they're undefeated at home?
There.
You know who else is undefeated at home?
Who is undefeated at home?
The Nuggets.
No, the Nuggets. Come on. We're better than that. Mm-hmm. The Utah Jazz, they're 5-0 at home.
Nice. Interesting.
Go Jazz.
Go Donovan.
One thing in the NBA. Wait, crap! Oh, I want to talk about Trae Young.
Okay.
Trae Young has been on a tear lately.
He had that ankle sprain that looked ugly to start, and then he came back like a game later.
Oh, that was scary. Because when I saw that, because I don't know if you talked about that last time. You know what
I'm trying to remember. I don't know if it was before. I think it was.
It might have been right around.
Yeah.
But he was going to be out for multiple weeks.
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 weeks.
I know. And looking back on it, if Trae Young would have been out and the John Collins suspension, the Hawks' whole like resurgence or whatever really would have been pushed off another year.
And now, because
they would have lost so many games in that stretch. But Trae's playing phenomenally.
Also, it's just not that Kevin Huerter is out two weeks now with his shoulder. So.
Yeah, I mean, that hurts, but Trae is Trae.
Yeah, he's looked very good.
He's an all-star. Finally hit easily.
Finally went over 40. I guess it was 2 nights ago. Mm-hmm. Reddish is still struggling, so it'd be nice if they can get him to come around. But I do like I've said before, I don't think this is a year for the Hawks. They need...
No, I think it's a year.
I think they need one more draft pick to get someone and get a big man in there. They've got their 2 Supermax over offseason that they can use. So
right.
And there's a lot of potential for this team next year to be very good.
And one thing I thought about, too, was who could potentially fill that Supermax role.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I want it to be Andre Drummond.
Okay, I also saw that you can also go...
That's who I want. Drummond. I think he'd fit perfectly. If they can just get like a dominating rebounder to go along with Collins in the front court.
And then another option is DeMar DeRozan to bring in just as your second guy. Match up with Trae would be very nice.
I really do.
Not as much as a need, but it'd be nice to have.
Not that I'm hesitant on DeRozan, but I like where the Hawks are moving in that area. I'm nowhere near giving up on Cam Reddish yet.
No.
You know, he could still be a really special player. He's uber talented.
Yeah. And Huerter's fine there, too. He's
uber talented.
Yeah, very, very nice.
And then DeAndre Hunt, you know, just all in that wing mix, whereas I feel like if they bring... I mean, Alex Len is still, like, a starting big on this team.
Which is not good.
Right.
I don't know which game it was, but he had a single point in one of the games.
If you can bring in Drummond, I mean, just talk about instant impact. That would be ridiculous. And you still have another max slot, technically.
Yeah, you
could get both of them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the route they take. I do agree that between Hunter and Collins in the forward spots, and then they've got Reddish, Huerter, and Kevin, or Trae Young up top. Down low is definitely the most important spot. But
yeah.
Also, Jabari Parker has been a good pickup for them. He's mm-hmm. played solid off the bench and into a starting role as they've started just to sit Reddish and the injuries as well.
No, so. I like where the Hawks are going. It hasn't been obviously ideal with just the whole Collin suspension situation, but I think they're moving in the right direction still.
I agree. Is that it? Do we have more NBA or is that about it for us?
I would like to highlight, just because they always come up with Trae, Luka Doncic. Uh-huh. I mean, he's playing phenomenal
too. He is.
And every time... It's like they're attached to each other just because they got traded up in the draft.
You know?
Like one team, it was like who should pick who or whatever.
And both teams are always going to compare it just to try and get the better end of the deal.
Yeah, but I mean, both of them, they've just both had phenomenal careers and they're both having really, really good seasons this year. Another, so shout out Luka.
Another thing I'm not sure how much we talked about, but the Warriors are 2-10 and last in the Western Conference. Just not looking like a good season for them.
Yeah, it's tank season. They're going to come back with a extremely high draft pick next year.
Yeah.
And reload.
And I'd be surprised if you see Curry back this year.
Really? There's no point.
And there's there's no reason to rush him back. And even if he does come back, is it really worth it when you can have him and Clay come fresh next year with a good draft pick? So it'll be interesting. But speaking of draft picks,
okay.
James Wiseman, potential number one. God. Just a downer on the start of the college basketball season where he's now ineligible for the rest of the year.
That was a weird situation.
It was.
So I don't know how much you guys have been like tuned into that, but I'll just give a brief overview because I actually looked up a lot about this because I was confused on what was going on.
Give us a breakdown.
Lay it on me.
Okay. So James Wiseman, his freshman year of high school, lived in Nashville, Tennessee, goes to a private school called Ensworth. Good basketball program. At the time, Penny Hardaway is a high school coach at Memphis East High School. Penny Hardaway allegedly, after his freshman summer, pays him to move to Memphis and come play for him at Memphis East. So James Wiseman moves. Penny Hardaway also had an AAU team on the Nike YBL called Team Penny. Okay, he plays with him in high school, AAU. Penny, his senior year, takes a job at Memphis. James Wiseman ends up playing for him at Memphis. So following the coach wasn't the problem, but it was because Penny had a career and like played at Memphis and was obviously great there and has donated to the program in the past. He's considered a booster to the school. And so when he paid him, it indirectly influenced his decision to go to Memphis by moving there. It's like a booster paid him to move there and eventually went to Memphis. So Penny's like committing these violations as a booster, not really as the coach. So that's why he's not getting in trouble as the coach of the team. But Wiseman's kind of screwed.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, it's a bad situation.
And
it's
then
not
he
like.
He played two games. Well, they were like,
he did good.
Well, because first they said, the first one came out like literally an hour before his game. So they said he can just play.
I know, it was
and then
so
the,
close.
The next one was just like he was appealing it so he could play again.
Right.
So,
and then I guess they finally just were like, we're backing off. And
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I'm pretty sure today they announced that the appeal is off and that he's just going to be ineligible for the rest of the year. He's allowed to practice but can't play in games.
So here's my question. Do you think this shapes the decision of future recruits going forward to want to go overseas and just avoid the whole college process?
I don't think so, because I still think there's a lot of intrigue to play in college, get your year in, and play in March Madness. So I still think that's still a big part of it.
LaMelo plays overseas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still ranked pretty high on the draft board, so I mean, he could affect like future prospects going overseas. Like they're like, oh, he do it. He can do it. He still got drafted pretty high.
What was the other one? Hampton.
Yeah. Both of them play in the top league in Australia.
Aussie.
Yeah.
Aussie.
And there's a handful of guys in the 2020 high school recruiting class too, like top 25 guys who are considering it.
Yeah.
After seeing what they're doing, just because, I mean, you also got to remember they're making money.